So much for that bottom.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The government has just released its report on last quarter's gross domestic product, and it's an unpleasant surprise, a 6.1% contraction. Diane Swonk is chief economist with Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Diane, what's your reaction?
You know, actually, the numbers aren't as bad as first blush, which is nice to say for a change. Although the decline was much more than expected, it came because government spending actually contracted, which we know is not the case. And in fact, the government's spending about $1 billion a day at this point in time. And it's going to show up as stronger growth in the second quarter, or at least less of a decline. We sort of have stopped the free fall, pulled the parachute. And as we move into the second quarter, we're still falling, but not as rapidly. Don't know quite where we're going to land. But again, the consumer surprisingly held up, actually had a little bit of a rebound from the incredible contraction we saw in the second half of last year. And it was businesses that pulled in. Of course, that's where all those firings were. But those are the kind of things you need to eventually get this economy to stabilize a bit. As long as there's some demand out there, eventually businesses will come back as well and curtail their firing.
So we'd been hearing that we were going to get a 5% contraction, and this sounds suspiciously, sadly close to the big 6.3 shrink from the quarter before, but you're just not that worried.
It's just the composition of growth is much better. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we know something like, you know, a big decline in government spending. I mean, you know, you kind of have to wonder who was smoking what when they made up these numbers. It really isn't. We know going forward that is not the case at all. And in fact, we also are somewhat surprised by some of the spending consumers are getting. They're starting to get the full effect of tax cuts, rebates, and extra spending for Social Security are coming through in the second quarter. And the good news is, unlike last year, just spending it on filling up our gas tanks, consumers seem to be spending it a little bit, and every little bit helps.
Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial, thank you.
Thank you.
European stocks are holding on to their gains this morning, up over 1%. Asian shares gained over 2%. Japan's market was closed. Wall Street was flat yesterday. The Centers for Disease Control have confirmed the first death from swine flu in the United States, a 23-month-old child in Texas. The CDC says the child had recently traveled to Mexico, where more than 150 deaths are blamed on the virus. As people ask what they can do to stay healthy, one area of concern is the office. Jennifer Collins tells us how businesses are responding to the outbreak.
If you're worried about swine flu at work, you've got company. Ann Brockhaus advises clients like 3M, Chevron, and Boeing on health and safety in the office. She says many companies are still forming their plans for swine flu response.
People are just struggling with what the nature of this flu is. They're really concentrating right now on ways to prevent transmission of infection.
Yesterday, Brockhaus spoke with nearly 300 companies on a conference call about the swine flu outbreak. She says before businesses go out and buy boxes of rubber gloves and masks, they should first make sure employees are educated about how the flu spreads. Epidemiologist Anne-Marie Kimball says it's important not to overreact.
So we have to be careful that the energy we put into this, we put into good, constructive, public health-worthy actions instead of silliness.
Kimball says the best action is to let sick workers stay home so they can get better. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
The Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day meeting today. It will make some kind of announcement, probably not much of one, since it can hardly cut interest rates lower than they already are.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
We got some earnings out this morning. Time Warner saw first quarter profits fall 14%. Quest had earnings rise 37%. Tough times for automakers, of course. Germany's Daimler, which makes Mercedes, lost almost $2 billion last quarter. We're going to get an earnings report next week from Daimler's smaller German rival BMW, and Marketplace's Stephen Beard takes a look at that from Munich.
BMW's HQ in Munich is unmistakable. Four towers shaped like engine cylinders thrusting into the sky. The company itself clearly isn't firing on all four cylinders at the moment. Global sales fell 20% in the first quarter. But, says spokesman Michael Rebstock, the global market for premium cars fell by 25%.
Compared to this general slump, BMW has done quite fine. Compared to our competitors, we were able to increase our market shares.
He says BMW's even held up well in the dire American market by addressing US concerns about fuel efficiency and climate change.
If this is the carbon footprint of the average US driver, this would be your carbon footprint if you drove BMW Advanced Diesel.
Analysts say that BMW grasped the need for fuel efficiency far quicker than the big three American car makers. And, claims Michael Rebstock, the German company was also quick off the mark last fall, cutting production as the downturn intensified.
We have not very many unsold cars. We managed to reduce production in a very early stage of the crisis.
One third of BMW's 75,000 workforce are now working shorter hours for less pay. Flexible, fast on its feet and with powerful brands, BMW seems well able to weather the crisis. But analyst Jürgen Pieper in Frankfurt says the company is losing money, and it's half the size of industry giants like Volkswagen. It could be taken over.
One has to watch it very carefully over the next couple of quarters if BMW can come back to nice levels of profitability. If not, then they really look vulnerable, I think.
Other analysts claim that BMW is not too small. After all, they say size hasn't saved GM, Chrysler and Ford from disaster. In Munich, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. I hope you'll come visit us on the web, marketplace.org, and see what our online host Scott Jagow is talking about in our Scratchpad blog. Thanks for tuning in and have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.